on to project or team governance when it comes to managing project teams and resources, this is a very key aspect where everything is working under the blessings and the umbrella of a good governance. So today we very often hear corporate governance for organizations. There is a corporate governance guideline also which has come out by the which is there as per law now. So there are various issues as far as governance are concerned, and every project and a well managed project must work under a corporate governance structure. You cannot have any project working outside a governance framework. So at any point of time when we've been talking about project management, there is a sponsor, there is a need for a change, which is why a project has come about, which is why a team is being mobilized, vendors are being lined up, training is happening. All of this is brilliant and will lead to good business sense and good change. But before we launch into any of these things, we spoke about various stakeholders yesterday. Sponsors being key stakeholders who fund and finance, senior management being stakeholders. So it is very important that there is a buy-in from the eventual stakeholders, from the people whose blessings under which this project is working, so that there is a framework, guidelines, best practices laid out within which this project is being handled over and above just the rules and regulations. It has to work in a very prudent and very disciplined framework. So, getting into what project governance is, it is the framework which ensures that the project has been convinced and executed in the best project management practice. Convinced who? Who needs to be convinced? So the convincing is required for your project sponsors primarily, who are going to then be very instrumental in terms of the guidelines being laid down. There are going to be legal aspects, there are going to be infrastructural aspects, there are going to be resource aspects, various aspects. But if I am a project manager, I may have the most noble project idea, I may have the most valuable project idea, but unless this project idea can be convincing to my sponsors and to all the stakeholders, my project governance will not fall into place within which this project can be managed. So project governance is about managing framework within which the project decisions are made. So while I'm taking decisions as a project manager, within a purview of rules and regulations, I also have a larger project governance model to follow. So when you think about a certain set of organizations, they have rules and regulations. For example, look at the banking and financial services industry. There are guidelines laid down by RBI. There are guidelines laid down by SEBI. But over and above these guidelines laid down by RBI or these guidelines laid down by SEBI for that matter, there are also governance policies and governance frameworks being spearheaded by very, very senior personnel, if not the sponsors and the key stakeholders of these BFS, banking and financial services industry organizations, which are being followed over and above what the rules and regulations also say. And the essence and the sentiment behind having these governance frameworks is that not only do we respect the rules and regulations, but we have our stringent governance framework, which is even more stringent and even more disciplined than what is required for us, because we respect these rules and we have our own disciplinary guidelines and framework which are within which we feel the healthiest project management and the cleanest, where there is no gray area or element of anything, any wrong having been done. The most hygienically healthy project outcome will be generated. So you have your governance framework, which is over and above the rules, regulations, guidelines, which is very, very, which is a key and integral part of most organizations, in fact, I will not even say most organizations, I will use the word of all professional organizations today who work within this purview. And your image, your external stakeholders, your eventual customers who are also looking for your products and services will look at any organization and say, please, I would like to know, do they have a proper and prudent project governance policy in place or not? Because if this organization does not have a prudent governance policy in place, then I actually doubt that they work on best practices. I am not sure whether I can trust them. I am not sure whether the credibility that they are coming from is really the kind of credibility level that I am comfortable with them or not, because it is a symbol. A governance framework is a symbol that this organization gives due regard to the parameters within which any project is to work, within which any project is to operate, and within which a project has to give me a prudent service or product. What is the point of me accepting a service or a product which actually does not come within the purview of what the best practices are, because it spoils my image as a customer as well. So, seeing largely, the governance framework typically has a steering or a project steering committee, which is the project sponsor. Now, in the hierarchy, as we had discussed yesterday also, over the project manager, over the vice president, over the director, over the CEO, is your steering committee. So, the steering committee is the eventual and final call in terms of being the sponsor, who is providing the moral support, who is providing the financial support. And you cannot have a governance framework in whose chart the steering committee does not feature. Because how can you operate or carry out anything, any business, any operation, any work without a buy-in from this steering committee? It is absolutely imperative that the sponsor is as much on the same page in terms of, yes, is this permissible and are we comfortable within these parameters to operate this process. Then you have your project and schedule and execution. This is where your senior team would come into the picture, your planning entities would come into the picture, and your execution parameters would be laid out. For example, certain organizations have a pre-decided list of vendors who they will deal with. Then unless they have their regular update or window during which they open new vendors coming in and old vendors going out, and an update which can happen once in 6 months, once in 1 year, once in 2 years, they will not deal with any other vendor. Now, if there is a pre-decided list of vendors who one can work with, and this list is part of the project schedule, then I know that that has to be part of my governance structure. And as a project manager, I need to give that due respect and take cognizance of that and ensure that I'm servicing, I'm working only based on these parameters. Now look at the project execution schedule. Within the execution schedule, I have the various aspects of my project life cycle and project phases which are coming in. So here you have listed only four of them. There is logistics, there is development, there is testing, there is user training. These are some of them. There could be so much more. There could be admin, there could be human resource planning, there could be vendor management, all of these things. And under this, you have subsections. So governance is not just a taking care of the heads, it is also going to the level of the subheads and making sure that even those minutest processes and dealings and interactions are done in compliance with what our larger governance framework is. And these could be something as basic as installation and operation, design and quality, verify design and functionality, or something as basic as trainings. So even the training that we are conducting here today, even this training is happening under a larger purview and governance structure that Willinker follows. Every little aspect has to pass through that filter and that screen. And we as vendors, as outside consultants, are very well aware, and it's ingrained in us what those structures and what those frameworks are and what those guidelines are. So that governance framework is being laid down whether it is written down, whether it is unspoken, it is being laid down at the topmost levels at Velenkar. It has the buy-in of the topmost levels at Velenkar. And only then can we operate under that and provide a service and provide a consultancy a service which is acceptable and which is delivered to Velenkar. So you see how it is going down to something as minute as the trainings which are being conducted. So what are the kind of, I have identified my training need, I am sending a person for this kind of training, what is my budget allocation, how much of my project budget can I spend on training, what kind of trainings I can send them for, do I send them domestically, internationally, what is permitted, what is not permitted, how much of my time will I take away from the regular work day towards a training day. All of these will form part of my governance framework, which is going down to the absolute minute level, where everything is in a way notionally being vetted by the larger framework. Now, it is very important that you get the buy-in from the right people. We keep talking about steering committee sponsors. They are the right people. So the governance framework accountability has to be tagged with the right people. If you go to the CEO and he says, eventually I have so and so above me and above them there is so and so, and you are asking me to take ownership of the governance structure, he may not be the right person. So in every organization you have the right entity, and the right entity starts with the steering committee or the project sponsor in terms of taking ownership of the wider governance under which this project will operate. So, as we continue the discussion of governance framework, keep in mind that a governance framework is trying to bring in the best practices for project management. It is trying to ensure that all stakeholders are kept informed about the going-ons or proceedings and ongoing activities in a project. It is important that there are regular and appropriate reviews with regard to these various stakeholders, because they have a sense of, they have an ownership in the project. They have eventual responsibility and accountability of the project as well. So it is important that it is not just, I have given my blessings, a project is running and I'll find out about it 2 years later and what are the practices which have been used. Over the span of the 2 years, I will need to be kept updated over how it is working, what are the policies within which it is working, what are the changes which have been made, the various back and forth. So reviews, flow of information become very, very important when we're talking about governance framework, because there are stakeholders, internal and external, and these stakeholders will want to know, are things operating as per my expectations or not, as per the best practices or not. So they will not wait for the end and the culmination of the project to decide, oh, something away from my different from my expectation has been delivered. This is not the way in which I would have wanted this delivered. This is not the policy that I would have wanted it to use. This is not the framework and ethics that I would have wanted this based on. If on an ongoing basis they are being provided with fair information, with regular information and with regular reviews, then they will be better equipped in a position to be comfortable and to continue to support any project. So in a effective project governance is about ensuring that the projects deliver the value expected of them. Now, when we're talking about the value expected of them, I'm repeatedly talking about not just the monetary value which the projects are generating, not just the physical outcome of whatever your software package that you've developed or whatever service that you have produced as a result of this project. I'm also talking about the hygiene levels of the value. Is it ethically within the practices that were used? Were the right policies used? Were the prudent guidelines used? Were the right decisions made? So when I'm talking about value, I'm not talking only about the monetary value. I'm not talking only about the business aspect. I'm also talking about the cleanliness and the prudent and the ethically responsible and clean way and value being adhered to as far as any product is concerned. Product or service which is an outcome of a project. So there are multiple dimensions which are there to corporate governance framework. One is the people. So when we saw in the earlier chart, we saw that there is a steering committee right on top, okay? And there is a project which comes schedule, which involves schedule and execution, which comes next. And then there are various other aspects of it. So again, let me stress that it is the right people which have to be associated with these. So a steering committee does not mean that all the board members have to be part. All the board members who technically are the sponsors of a project have to be part of the steering committee. If I have a board membership of 20 members, doesn't mean all my 20 members have to be part of my steering committee. No, that is not what I'm talking about at all. I could have a steering committee where people's roles, though they are sponsors, though they are coming from that segment which forms sponsors, the roles of people on the steering committee or those people are being included in the steering committee who are actually connected in ways to the project outcome, who have some sort of relevance and association to the project outcomes, then that is my steering committee. At the project schedule level, I would have probably the project manager and his various other senior management team people who would become the relevant people who would have more of executionary authority. So when we are talking about roles, a steering committee would not have executionary roles. Whereas your project and execution stage would clearly have the signing executionary roles and authorities associated with them. Structure, as we saw in the previous diagram, one of the structures laid out was that under this schedule, I'm laying down logistics, development, testing, user training. Now I could have had five more little balloons out here with various other aspects which are also part of my governance, and within this I am going down to as minute a level of training. So within the corporate governance structure, I will decide how minute I go and what sort of structure do I use. Do I include these four major departments or even these sub departments which are there? Let me keep them at this level of responsibility and role rather than taking them to the next level of responsibility and role. So when I'm talking about roles and structures, I need to think prudently what works best for my project management. And politics. Politics, internal, external, is an integral part of any organization. It is an integral part of any project, any project management. The same way that conflict comes into the picture with any human being involved, any team member involved, likewise politics comes in. Politics within the board members, politics within the steering committee, politics between the various departments, politics between the senior management and the steering committee, because the senior management may feel, okay, while the steering committee has higher power than us in the hierarchy, they're not as much in the know-how as we are. So we are actually in a more, we influence in a much higher way because we are in a better position of power as far as this project is concerned, and we are in a higher position of power because of our executionary prowess versus the steering committee. So you will have a lot of political things, but your governance has to work over and above that, and has to, the governance framework has to ensure that politics and internal dynamics are not compromising the outcome of your adherence to the best practices of governance that there can be. Now, looking at the various elements of governance, organizational structure, as we saw, a basic organizational structure we saw in the pie chart earlier. Now, you will typically have a corporate governance structure and you will have a project management structure. Now, your governance structure of the project is higher up than your project management structure. However, the stakeholders, in there may be overlap, yet you have to keep the governance structure and the project management structure separate, and accountability has to be separate between the two. A good governance structure will give you projects which add to your profitability, projects which don't lead to costs, which save costs when it comes to leakages because of certain practices not being met, and will lead to a structure which, having worked once, can perhaps, that governance structure can be repeated project after project. So it creates a larger band under which your various projects with a little bit of tweaking in the governance structure here and there as far as the appropriateness is concerned, your various projects can have a basic repeatable governance structure which is bringing about a product and service and outcome of value, of cleanliness, and which is leading to profitability and which is leading to significant cost saving because you are using the most prudent practices. You don't have leakages. Now, what happens if something breaks the rule? Now, if there is a breakage of rule, then clearly there are times where penalties are imposed. So, if you have gone, you have overstepped the governance structure, or your governance structure is not good enough and did not have the right guidelines in place and best practice in place, then you may have overstepped some law knowingly or unknowingly, and that may lead to a penalty, and that penalty is going to take away from your profitability. So, if you have a good, well thought out governance structure which is not leaving any scope for anything other than the best practice being used, which is not leaving any scope for any law to be overstepped, knowingly or unknowingly, then you are straight away leading to saving of costs on any expenses which might occur because of legal issues or penalties. So that is straight away adding to your bottom line, and that is a very good governance structure which in a larger scheme of things, keeping most of the major guidelines in place, can be used repeatedly as a model for other projects also. Now, if the outcomes of the other projects are different, as it will be, the products and services which are going to be the result of those projects are going to be different, little bit of tweaking will be required, but a lot of policies, lot of guidelines will be similar. So it is very useful that a good organizational structure as part of a good governance structure can be repeated effectively project after project in any organization. Now, when we were speaking about the roles, as I said, it is very important to have appropriateness of the role at the right level, and it is very important that the relevant people form part of the steering committee. So if in an organization I have a software development project happening, and out of my board members I have people connected with software development, with know-how, with expertise, then perhaps those people should form part of the steering committee versus people who are not connected or knowledgeable about software development at all, because then the know-how in terms of guidelines and framework that these knowledgeable experts will bring in is what is going to make my governance structure that much strong and airtight and prudent to deal with. When it comes to mechanisms, how do we have authorities laid out? In roles and mechanisms, I may be a steering committee member, but do only steering committee members have signing authority? Signing authority could be part of the senior project management team as well, right? So when I actually get into the mechanisms and the roles, then I have to go down to this level in terms of who has signing authority. So who is authority being delegated to? So while the eventual blessing is of the sponsor is not getting involved in the day-to-day adherence and execution. He has become part of the overall guidelines which have been laid out, but now the day-to-day adherence and authority and signing powers and delegation has been made to a senior management team member or a group of senior management team members, and that is how the mechanism and the roles will play out in this project while it is adhering to this corporate governance structure. So these are some of the things that we have to keep in mind. As we continue our discussion on core project governance principles, let's keep in mind that governance principles require single point accountability, and they are distinct from project management principles. Now, a project management will come into place when the project is being rolled out and is a lot more detailed. It goes down to an absolute minute level versus a governance principle which is a larger banner. So keep in mind that there is a distinction between the project governance and the entire governance, that core governance that we are talking about. And a governance principle is going to require a single point accountability, where whoever is the final owner, where in our previous diagram we had a steering committee and there would be someone who is heading the steering committee, then the steering committee becomes the single point owner with single point accountability. There has to be, and there this accountability has to be attached to the right person. You then cannot look, if tomorrow something goes wrong, then you cannot look for a fall guy who could be anyone and everyone and point fingers at that person and say, this is the person responsible. Because unless it is a person with reasonable relevance and seniority, you really can't be taking ownership and accountability of the governance structure. Governance structure being the larger framework within which your best practices are being followed so that your project is executed in the most prudent and cleanest manner possible. Now, it's very important when it comes to governance principles that there is constant flow of information happening between the various stakeholders. There is enough representation of all the key levels. There are enough practices which are and rules and guidelines which are being put in place to account for risks, to account for uncertainties, because most of the times your tricky situations will come into play not when your routine things are happening, but when there is some uncertainty and when there is some risk associated which is coming into play. So the key executors must have enough representation with the stakeholders and the steering committee. They must be heard, they must be able to communicate, they must have enough support, because it is at the end of the day the executors who will take care of the day-to-day adherence of the project with respect to the entire core governance principles. And there has to be separate and independent project ownership. So there is governance ownership, which is probably a sponsor member or all the sponsors, the steering committee members. And then there is independent project ownership. Who is taking project ownership? Probably your project manager. Or who is taking project ownership? Project ownership is probably being taken by your senior management team. So there has to be a distinction. Keep in mind, project management guidelines are very detailed and minute and are during the life cycle of the project, play out during the life cycle of the project. The core governance guidelines are a blanket guideline on top of that, which encompass all the project guidelines within their purview. Now, we have to ensure that the stakeholder management is happening properly. So, the various stakeholders, whether it is your customers, whether it is your sponsors, whether it is your vendors, whether it is your team members, we have to ensure that all of them are kept in loop about various key things. I keep stressing that when it comes to governance, information has to constantly flow. Reviews and reports have to constantly be sent. Updates and status reports have to be sent, because all stakeholders who are tapping into this and who are eventual beneficiaries of a positive outcome of a project would want to know how things are working. So stakeholder management is a very key aspect which has to be kept in mind when you're talking about the governance. And there is a separate project and governance structure. I just mentioned that your project structure and governance, your project execution is one which is a subset of your governance structure. So you have a larger governance structure under which your one project is being executed, second project is being executed, and all of that. So your governance structure is distinct from your project structure and your project execution. Hence, your divergence in roles also comes in. So while your steering committee is not playing the role of the executioners. People who are executing are the ones who are taking on roles in terms of senior management people, in terms of the project executors. So please appreciate and understand the difference between project structure and your governance structure. Governance structure is on top. Project structure comes as a subset below that, within the purview of the larger prudent best practices guidelines laid down for the operations of the project. And additional and complementary principles of governance are required. Why additional? We are trying to encompass as many best practices. Compliance has to be an integral part of it. As I told you, there are governance laws as well. So you have to keep in mind that there has to be, over and above the basic guidelines laid down, there has to be scope for managing risk, there has to be scope for managing uncertainty, there has to be scope for mitigating anything which may be divergent. We have to keep constant flow of information. We have to give representation to the various stakeholders. We have to give representation to the people who are going to be executing, because they are the ones who can keep you updated on whether things are going as per the desired or following the desired guideline or not. So this is your core project governance structure, governance principles. To summarize this chapter and to conclude our entire module on your managing teams and resources, you see how we delved into human resources, manpower, staffing, training, vendor management, training needs, your various other technical aspects, your how do I acquire a team, how do I make my staffing plans, how do I make my project management, what are the roles of a project manager, where all he comes into place. But you see, at the end of all of those discussions, we are signing up with a discussion on project governance. The reason being that all of these things that we have discussed, which form the core and the heart of a good project, and a project which hopefully will bring you a successful outcome in terms of a product or a program or a service provided. All of these are immaterial if they are not operating under a prudent corporate governance structure. So your governance structure is superseding everything else which is there. So in a way, we could have either discussed governance right at the start before launching into project management. But we are discussing all the other aspects, appreciating their value, and then appreciating that to get a product or service of value, something, a value that I mentioned is not just monetary value, but also ethical value. To get that, after discussing absolutely every aspect of project management, right from staffing to identification to conflict resolution to people to training to resources to sponsors to vendor management, to all of that, at the end of the day, we cannot lose sight of the fact that this entire effort has to work within your project governance structure, and all your decisions which are taken, even the minutest decision at a project, at your project execution level, even a small decision, as I was giving you an example yesterday of a project manager allowing his team to wear casual clothes on a Friday so that he can have a casual day. Even a decision as small as that has to adhere to the governance structure of the organization. If that is in conflict with the governance structure laid down by the sponsors and the steering committee of the organization, then mind you, the project manager who gave this leeway is in serious trouble. If a project manager gives a reward, we discuss rewards and recognition. If a project manager hands out a reward where he sends an outperforming team member on an international vacation, and the governance structure, in the interest of showing cost effectiveness to the world, in the interest of cost saving, in the interest of any other consideration, has a governance policy that international incentives of this nature are on hold or will not be undertaken from time to time or in perpetuity, then the project manager who has taken this decision has not acted in purview of the governance structure. There are several times where there are a lot of organizations who have very flamboyant and rich reward structures, where they will send you to exotic international locations for your rewards, etc. And then you will have phases in these organizations, in the name of cost cutting, in the name of prudence, where profitability is being hurt, in the name of shareholders raising their eyebrows towards this kind of expenditure, in the name of markets in general turning downward, because of which you cannot justify to the world, even if your profitability is very good, you cannot justify to the world these kind of expenses, will have policies where from this date to this date, international incentives of this nature are suspended and will not be handed out. It is very common. So if an organization is downsizing, so you are asking people to go, at the same time you are sending an outperforming employee, though he has done very well and deserves his rewards, you are sending him internationally, it may convey the wrong message to the world that this organization is spending right, left and center, and one on the one side to save costs it is downsizing, and on the one side it is spending on these international rewards. So while this may at other times have been permitted, there may be a governance, there may be a change, as we have been discussing changes which happen over a period of time with projects and organizations, where the steering committee or the governance structure may warrant that this kind of expenditure over this period of time, over this limit of time, this time span till further review is not permitted. Now, if a project manager has not made it his business to be aware and to stay in the communication loops and channels to make sure that he's aware of what the changes in the governance structure are, and he's going strictly by what was approved earlier, then he is actually breaking an internal governance rule, governance guideline, and he's sending this employee off on this international reward, which is actually leading to a cost element which is right now in conflict with and contrary to what the governance structure lays down. So it is very important to appreciate that every project decision should be part of the project governance and in keeping and adherence with the best practices laid out in the governance structure, and only then will effective project governance ensure that the projects deliver the value expected of them. And again, I will end these modules by using specifically the term of value, not just in terms of monetary value, but also in terms of best practices value, and also in terms of the cleanest, most hygienic and most prudent and values which adhere to an overall governance structure which adheres to the best practices in the industry domestically and globally. So that brings us to the end of managing teams and project management and managing teams and resources. Thank you so much.